wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
All right, and we're back for another week on the Gridiron, guys, your home of the NFL, south of the equator. We're back with another week. Thankfully, we've been able to connect again. I'm out away working at Denny, and I've managed to get the hotel Wi-Fi to keep us aloft, so that's been handy. But Cam, how you been going down your way?
Yeah, it's fantastic here. I'm really excited that you're going to be venturing out to the Denny Ute Muster. But I think the biggest thing we want to talk about this week is you finally notched up a win in our best bet segment.
Huge. It's actually been a great week. Managed to get the best bets, pick the Melbourne Cup winner. It's been an absolute barnstormer. So, look, let's hope our luck doesn't run out just quite yet, because I think we still got a few units we can pick up for the members, but we'll continue to work away at it for the boys.
Yeah, absolutely. Some really huge news today, I suppose. First, we're probably going to touch on Henry Ruggs, the biggest thing in NFL at the moment. What are your thoughts on this? I suppose, do you want to talk about it and then we'll share our thoughts?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's really unfortunate just everything that's happened and gone on. Putting it simply, Ruggs has made a bad decision here. He's gotten behind the wheel under the influence, and it's going to cost him, I suppose, if you want to put it simply, really. Thoughts go out. Unfortunately, there was the young lady, I think, that died at the scene, really. But Ruggs and his passenger were uninjured, but they're in the hospital. You're looking at Ruggs is gone from the Raiders now, but likely more issues will be following, not just football, I think, but just real life issues will be following now for a little while. Hey.
Yeah, I dare say he's looking at some jail time. And I think this is just one that I've never really understood. One, I suppose, drinking and then driving, especially when you've got some, not that it's ever an excuse, but when you've got money to get an Uber, just get an Uber. But at the same time, when you're drinking, like, why are you driving so fast, like, and recklessly? Like, it just doesn't matter. I mean, you should never drink and drive, but it's just his decision-making in this situation was horrific.
Yeah, what's he doing showing off? Is this why the NFL has tried to resist the bright lights of having a Las Vegas team for so many years? And now that the temptation's there, unfortunately, Ruggs has fallen ill to it.
Yeah, it's really not good. And I guess, as you said before, we want to reiterate the thoughts go out to the person who lost their life today, which is a tragic incident. But I guess this is just one we're going to have to wait and see what ends up happening with him, probably going to court and potentially jail time.
Look, and yeah, possibly the end of his career, realistically. We know he's sort of young, but these sort of things can take a while. So I suppose that's about that, isn't it? But another thing that wrapped up was trade deadline, wasn't it? Some big ones, well, big ones went through before the deadline, but nothing actually happened at deadline, did it?
Yeah, I was actually really disappointed. I thought we were going to wake up to some huge explosive trades. And as you said, we saw Von Miller leave you guys and go to the Rams. Yeah. And there was probably a couple other trades much further prior to the deadline, but yeah, there's nothing of note for me.
Yeah, look, Von Miller was a disappointing one. It was, you know, this is one of those trades where it comes out of left field. No one's even talking about this guy. No one even... You know, it's not like anyone was thinking, oh, the Rams need to add depth to this or we need to cut salary. Like, it's just, it's one of those weirdest trades. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. And the only thing I can think of is that, are we just building draft capital for a trade for potentially like a Rodgers or a Watson? That's like the only thing I can think of, because I mean, realistically, obviously it wasn't a salary issue because we're still paying $9 million of his $9.7 million contract for this year.
Yeah. Well, so yeah.
it's clearly not a money thing. You know, he's still like, okay, he's been in the league 11 years. He was out with injury last year, but he's still come back with a bang. He's leading our team in sacks and also tackle for losses. he's the cornerstone of our defense, especially with Chubb out at the moment. So I'm not quite sure what that's going for. You know, a second round and a third round draft pick as well. It's not like we've been outstanding at the draft in the recent years either. So, you know, I can't imagine why they need to add draft stock unless it's for a trade. But the Rams win this one easy, don't they? It's just adding depth to their line. And the scary thing is it's not that Von Miller's coming in as the new big bad, because Aaron Donald is that already. Like, the fact is you're adding a person who is quite capable on his own to take on double teams, but you've already got a guy that gets doubled and triple teamed as it is. Can you imagine giving someone like Von Miller, even though he's been in the league for 11 years and he's, you know, a veteran now, imagine giving him so much time and space. He's just going to absolutely tear limbs off those poor guys.
Yeah, I suppose short term they definitely win this trade. And I suppose we've talked about it for a few years now, is Rams are trying to build for that Super Bowl. They give away draft capital and they leave themselves high and dry with big contracts. So, I mean, eventually if they don't win one, they're kind of stuck and going to go backwards because they've got to pay these guys big money. So, I mean, like I think they're probably in contention now to win it and take it all out. So I think that'd be good money in the betting market. But, yeah, for you guys, interesting decision. But you've got to think they're building for something. You've got to think they're playing further down the line than the short term like the Rams are.
Look, one can only hope, I suppose. Probably another thing that was interesting, I think we were talking about this. Few people have been getting this done now, but Rodgers is getting part of his salary paid in Bitcoin now. It's a bit of an interesting one that pops up every now and again. I don't know how it works. Like, because, I mean, surely is he just getting the money and his agents like investing him for it? Because then essentially I could say that I get paid in Bitcoin because I put my part of my salary and I invest it every week. So like, I don't know. Do I just come out on my Instagram and start saying that I'm being paid in Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's always confused me as well. I don't really quite, I mean, I understand the concept, but how it, as you said, how it goes ahead is kind of really strange, but it's very good for him. And he was posting videos about how good Bitcoin is when he was dressed up. But yeah, it's an interesting one to see going forward because it's booming at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, a fair few people are getting it done. I think we just sort of started to see one in Australia. It got done. Brandon Smith signed to YKTR for Bitcoin. So it's definitely happening a lot more over there, and whether it, you know, transitions down here, I suppose we'll just have to wait and see, really.
Mm.
All right, shall we move on to recapping week 8 this week?
Yeah, let's go for it. What have you got as your games you looked out for?
Well, I got to start with my boys. A nice little, it's gritty, it was ugly, but it was a W. 70-10 win over Washington. Teddy Bridgewater managed to keep it clean. 19 of 26, one TD and no interceptions. I think Melvin Gordon was the guy, though. He managed to get up out on there on the run and then also make a couple catches. He got a touchdown for 15 yards there. But just managing to pressure on Heinicke, he was forced to throw 39 times. He put up two interceptions. So I think that's really where it was. It was our defense that really stood up as per usual.
Yeah, no surprises there, really. I actually watched a bit of this game. For Washington this year, I suppose Heinicke hasn't been bad. He's been serviceable, but I think he's been almost sometimes the reason why they aren't getting these close victories. You guys gave him every chance. Melvin Gordon, he fumbled the ball right at the end. I thought, you guys have got the win here. You're going to run it out. You gave him a turnover. You gave him another chance, and he's just thrown a pick. So, I mean, your defense stood up right at the end when you needed it, but Heinicke's there, but he's not quite that next step for them to get the win. So that's where I think Washington really struggles, but it's a solid victory for you guys and one you really needed.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit of a kick up the butt. So, but we sit at 4-4, and I think it's not a bad place to be. Chargers lost on the weekend as well. The Chiefs are a bit out of sorts. So naturally, we're looking good. We're not pushing anyone. We're not, you know, blowing the doors off the AFC West, but things are starting to turn. And I think if this is going to be one of those years where you look across all the divisions, you know, there's a couple of standout teams, but I mean, like we saw with like the Bengals and the Ravens, guys come to the top and then they get knocked straight back down. So essentially, if you're just in the hunt, you've got a good chance.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose when we're looking at team rankings, and I think NFC teams probably hold a couple of the top rankings now at the moment in your power rankings, but the AFC battle from 1 to 7 is super close at the moment. I mean, there's no real standout number one place. So there's teams fighting it out, and then there's still teams fighting it out. I know we're only halfway through the season, but the battle for the positions in playoffs this year in AFC and AFC West, I think is super exciting. And I think that's probably what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just one to keep an eye on. I think you were sort of looking at the Bengals and Jets game, were you, a little bit?
Yeah, I had a bit of a look at the Bengals and Jets game, and I'll touch on a few of the guys later on. But, yeah, what a game. I was furious because that's what cost me for my best bets. I had Bengals -9.5, and I let one of our friends, Jamie, know that that was my lock of the week. So I think I've upset a few people. But, I mean, the Jets have come in. And I'm going to talk about Mike White later on, but you thought after Zach Wilson went down, the Jets are struggling as is. They went out and grabbed Joe Flacco. And this guy just came in and balled out. I mean, in the last quarter when they needed him, he stood up and really delivered, throwing two touchdown passes. But, yeah, the Bengals is just a head-scratcher. You go top of the AFC and knock off the Ravens at home, and then you turn up and get dusted by a really lowly Jets team, who, as I actually want to note, is the team that also knocked off the Titans. So their wins this year are really great.
Yeah, you can't really pick it, can you? And to be honest, Joe Burrow actually had a good game. You sort of look at his stats, 21 of 34, three TDs, only one interception. But I think I'm gonna sound like a broken record over here. You look at the carries on the ground. Joe Mixon struggled, 14 carries for 33 yards. You can't build a base off that, essentially. You know, Jamar Chase was great again. He was, well, what he wanted. He said he was going to get a TD. He got a TD, didn't he? But, yeah, as you sort of said, White coming in, and for what, this is his second game. He filled in for Wilson when he got injured last week.
Yeah.
But to go out there and throw 45 times is a lot for a guy that, you know, he's not getting the reps with these guys either on the practice field. So he's running the scout offense normally. He's not getting the reps with some of these guys. They're not have the timing. But for him to throw 37 or 45, it's a pretty good fucking day, to be honest, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you'd be thrilled if you were Robert Salah. So I think that's really got the monkey off his back. And I suppose it'd be interesting to see, I don't know if they have the bye or if they're playing this week, but it'd be interesting to see how the Jets really back that one up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I suppose, because is Wilson out for a couple of weeks, do you think, or?
Yeah, I believe he's out for a little while. I'm not sure how long exactly, but I mean, if White keeps producing, leave him in the back.
Yeah, oh, I agree with that also. Another big game, we were talking about the NFC and how it was tippy at the top. There was a good game on Friday for us, the Packers versus the Cardinals. The Packers, understrength team. I think we haven't been bullish as much on the Cardinals. You know, we said they've had a few choppy wins. They haven't looked so convincing, but we sat here and we thought, you've got an understrength Green Bay team. Realistically, Cardinals should walk right through this, but they didn't. And they really struggled, to be honest.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think they sort of, Packers set the blueprint for how teams have got to play Kyler Murray. I know you've got to always rush the quarterback, but they really put him under pressure all day. But yeah, I mean, I've said last week that I don't think they'll make the Super Bowl, the Cardinals. And I suppose this kind of proved Green Bay are really the team to beat in the NFC. They had top three receivers out and still got the job done. So look, it's an interesting time for the NFC. Rodgers is looking red hot. But Cardinals is one, I think, they're not at down and out, definitely not. They probably should still win the NFC West, but the Rams and them competitive now for the NFC West, I think that's one to really look out for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another NFC matchup, which we're going to give some love. We don't normally to the Eagles, but they came out and they did a job. Jalen Hurts. And you know what? What do you have to do to make Jalen Hurts good? Not let him throw the ball. They let him run. That's what he's good at. And so he went out and carried for about 71 yards. Only threw 14 times and they got up 44-6. And I think they ran in 4 rushing touchdowns or something like that.
Yeah, they really belted them on the ground. And not surprised. Like, I mean, I was actually surprised. I tipped the lines in this one. And our friend Michael, who is an avid Eagles fan, actually kind of believed me as well. He thought, I think the Lions will get their first win this week. But Eagles really showed up and I'm actually quite impressed by them this week. I think DeAndre Swift was one who's been having a good game for the Lions so far, but this week he had some massive struggles. I think he had a few fumbles and just didn't really quite hit the mark.
Yeah, and that's really going to crush your spirit. So I think Detroit, they have the bye this week, but there's definitely some soul searching. I think you said sort of Campbell is the guy to lead them forward. It's just this year is going to be sort of just stopping the damage, limiting the bleeding essentially, rather than, you know, trying to get a win on the board, I think.
Yeah, it's true. They're just sort of, yeah, that's right. Yeah, if they can get a few wins, that's decent for them and they look forward to the future. A game I was really interested in, it's a team that I'm actually really interested in at the moment, Patriots-Chargers. Chargers have now dropped another one and surprisingly, and the Patriots are rolling. And I read a stat today, the Patriots are one of 5 teams, this is the most surprising of the 5, top 10 in defense and top 10 in offense in the league. I would never have picked that.
I think I could see that because not that I would see that they're out there blowing people out of the park, but I just think that they're a very efficient team. You know, they really know how to do what's right. You look at Mac, he's been great, realistically. He's probably the only good rookie quarterback that's come through this draft class, and this was supposed to be, you know, world beaters. But Bill just does it again. He really knows how to work a quarterback. Justin Herbert, great in his rookie year. Now he comes up against Bill with a whole year of film, and what does he do? He gets him to throw 2 touchdowns, but also 2 interceptions, and sit at a just above 50% completion rate as well.
Yeah, phenomenal game from them, and I suppose in LA's home, like Patriots are just such a surprising team this year, and I don't really know how to sort of, I haven't watched them enough to sort of get a gauge on them, but sitting at 4-4 in a pretty weak division other than the Bills, could we see them make the playoffs in that 6th, 7th spot?
Yeah, I think, again, this is going to be one of those ones. If you're just in the hunt, you're a chance. There is so much opportunity in that wild card spot in the AFC. I mean, you've got to look at even just the AFC North for guidance, really. That thing is going to be so muddled at the top, really. But, yeah, look, definitely the defense of the Patriots, they stood up pick six, and it just basically led them from the front, really, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. So I think they're one to keep an eye on in the next few weeks. Was there any other games for you that you liked?
Oh, look, you know, I think it was pretty much about that all rudimentary. I mean, Steelers probably popped one over the Browns in a gritty one. Titans just eked over the Colts, but the rest was sort of about how we expected them to go, realistically.
Yeah, yeah. The other interesting one, I suppose, was Saints Bucks with Jameis going down and then the celebrations in the locker room afterwards.
How could I forget?
I mean, yeah, well, that's right. I suppose when you get to 1 minute 40 left in the game, you're down by two, you give Tom Brady the ball, you think, oh, yeah, here we go again. But, I mean, we'll talk about this guy afterwards, but he threw a pick six to PJ Williams and that sealed the game. And I think the scenes in the locker room afterwards were just phenomenal with Jameis on crutches dancing after he tore his ACL.
Well, he's done for the season now. So money on either Trevor Siemian, who was the savior of the day. So we're either seeing whether he can revive his career and manage a Brock Osweiler-style contract to finish out the year, or we get the enigma Taysom Hill himself to lead the Saints to potentially the playoffs.
Yeah, there's such a question mark at the moment because their defense is really, really unbelievable. But, yeah, with no quarterback, I guess we'll see.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up week eight. We should move on to our awards, starting off with the Rookie Watch. Who have we got this week, Cam?
Rookie Watch this week. Now, Fields isn't the guy that I picked, but he actually really impressed me this week. After Mikkel gave him a serve last week, he turned up. I know they didn't get the win, but it's a serviceable game. He got yards on the ground, had some big runs, and threw for a touchdown, and I didn't think he was overly bad. The guy I've gone with, though, a man out of East Rutherford, New Jersey, Michael Carter, the running back from the New York Jets. Carter was drafted in the fourth round out of North Carolina, and I guess when you think about it, he's not really a big name as far as rookies go when you've got Zach Wilson coming into the team. All the news and all the highlights are around Zach Wilson, and this guy sort of just comes in and gets his work done. Now, he had a huge week this week against the top of the AFC Bengals, 15 rushes for 77 yards and a touchdown. I think what I was more impressed by was 9 catches on 14 targets for 95 yards. I guess this guy on the ground and in the air really helped Mike White get it going and got the W for the Jets.
Yeah, no, very good day out for him. Good way to start. For myself, I have gone with everyone's favorite defensive linebacker. He had a huge performance this week, getting back on a stat sheet stuffer, Micah Parsons. The man from Penn State racked up 11 tackles, 4 of which were for a loss, and also 1 QB hit. So he had their number all day and was just made it an absolute dogfight down there for the Vikings.
Yeah, I suppose it wasn't going to be too long before he made this list. I know he's favorite for probably Rookie of the Year or Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think one thing I pointed out and I saw it today, is they noticed that the green dot, which sort of signifies that you are the play caller on the defense, was moved off his helmet this week and moved on to Jayron Kearse. And I wonder if that's the catalyst for him sort of freeing himself up, being able to play more liberally, not having to worry about play calling, just playing how he wants to play and get all over the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has definitely influenced it for a bit. Shall we roll on to our flying and dying?
Yeah, absolutely. Who is flying for you this week, Zach?
This week, it was the Halloween costumes. Halloween, obviously, a great holiday up in America. We all love to enjoy it sometimes. But this year, it's always good to see these guys. They always go all out. We saw Aaron Rodgers dressing up as John Wick, Mike Davis coming as a Squid Games guard. Even Shaq Lawson was a very, very large version of Chucky. But the very best, I got to give it to Myles Garrett. He was the Grim Reaper with all the sacks he's made on the QBs in the NFL, sitting on a cape. Now, he's also got that as his graveyard in his front yard. If you've seen the pictures down in Believe Land, he's got a basically graveyard of all the sack quarterbacks. But look, I mean, he's just basically the stuff of nightmares, isn't he? And he just keeps rolling on. So I thought it was very appropriate, and he had a very good day out again.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I thought John Wick was pretty impressive, and I think that's when I saw him talking about his Bitcoin. He was dressed up in his John Wick kit. Hilarious.
no doubt the boogeyman getting paid in Bitcoin. All right, who is flying for you this week?
So I'm going to stick to the Jets, and I think we talked about this guy before, and I can't go past him. He's Mike White. With Zach Wilson out, the Jets, I suppose we were talking about before, were scrambling for a quarterback. I know they traded for Joe Flacco for a long, I don't know, fifth or sixth round pick, but Smoke and Joe didn't get the start this week. They've gone for Mike White. So a bit of backstory on Mike White. 2018, he was a fifth round draft pick, spent his time at University of Southern Florida and then the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, and then was picked up by the Dallas Cowboys and signed to a 4-year, $2.67 million deal. Now, he didn't get the backup job in 2019 and then was waived by Dallas. He was signed by the Jets to the practice squad. And then over the last 2 years, he's sort of been in and out of the lineup and the practice squad. And as you said, he sort of got his go the other week when Wilson went down, but this was his first time that he got a start, and boy, did he show up. As you said earlier, 37 for 45, 405 yards, three TDs, two intercepts, which, I mean, that's going to happen. You're a rookie and you're just trying to get your feel out there. But this included two fourth quarter touchdown passes with under 5 minutes to go to seal the game. It was huge.
It's great. It's good from a genuine list clogger. I think also there was another stat that this is the first time someone from the Jets has thrown over 400 yards since about the year 2000, I believe. So, you know, that's a long 21 years for New York fans.
That is absolute madness.
All right. Well, this week that was dying. I think I'm going to touch into the Odell Beckham Jr. relationship with the Browns. That is, if it's not dead, on absolute life support currently. Now, it's no secret that OBJ to the Browns has not panned out how anyone had hoped. And this is not just for Browns fans, but just for fans of football as it is, because he was an absolute spectacle. And everyone just loved watching him play when he broke up on the scene for New York. So, I mean, look, this year and last year, he's been riddled with injuries. He only played 7 games last year, and he's only suited up for 6 so far this year. And it really hasn't been smooth sailing. He's barely made any catches. But after not getting traded, or I think just before the trade deadline, a video, an 11-minute video was released that was showcasing all the misses, the wide-open misses that Baker Mayfield was making with Odell Beckham Jr. Now, funnily enough, this was released by his father, of all people. Normally, we're checking out the social media for the Wags to do their talking on the sideline, but it was his dad. So we can only assume that the relationship is very strained and that, unfortunately, what was supposed to be a match made in heaven has really not panned out and is not looking like it's getting up on 2 feet anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I thought he was going to get traded, and there was speculation that he was going to go to the Saints. There was kind of talks there, but it's going to be interesting how this plays out. I think it sort of falls back to the Browns are just still going to be looking for a quarterback. I don't know if Baker's it for them, and I think they're probably going to be better without, well, not without Baker, but I just don't know if he's their guy going forward, but I reckon they're probably going to give him the contract.
Absolutely. All right. Who was dying for you?
Now, dying this week, I've gone a little bit different now. I've gone a speculative pick, not something that I believe is dying now, but I believe could potentially be dying without their big man, Derrick Henry. Now, we didn't mention this at the start of the show. The number one running back in the league is now out potentially for the season, they say, 6 to 10 weeks, erring on the side of longer with 10 weeks. Where does this leave the Titans' offense? They've got the wide receivers. They now don't have a running back. They didn't really trade for a running back. And he's a huge part of their offense. As you said, you can't win without a running game. It's really hard when this guy is your running back and he just dominates so hard. Where does this leave the Titans? I think they're near top of the AFC at the moment. Where does that leave them? What do you think?
Not in a good space, because I think, yeah, the biggest thing for them is they're probably on a bit of a sketchy quarterback as well with Tannehill. And especially, there's no way you can replace the best running back in the league, especially when I think he's rushing in about 800 odd yards at the moment, I think I saw. And then the next best was Jonathan Taylor, who is like, I think he's at least 200 or 300 yards behind him. So He's clearly leagues ahead of everyone else in this league. I believe they've signed Adrian Peterson, so that's a bit of a blast from the past, but you just can't replace him, really. It's undoable.
Nah, absolutely. So I think that's going to be one to watch over the next few weeks. I know that's probably thankful that their division is fairly shit. So that's probably the saving grace for them.
Yeah, now that they have the tiebreaker over the Colts as well, that'll just help a little bit more. So yeah, now moving on, we get on to our team of the year, slowly piecing the puzzles together. It's almost finished, but we still got a couple more kinks to iron out. Who has wowed you on offense this week?
Yeah, look, as you said, we've got a few pieces left to put in the puzzle, and we've got 3 linemen left out of the 4 positions, so I guess we're going to attack that this week. I have gone the big boy in the center for the 49ers in Alex Mack. Now, Their O-line had an absolutely ripping day against a team that's pretty good in the pass rush. I know you've got guys like you've got Khalil Mack, of course, and then you've got Roquan Smith. I think two pass rushers, linebackers that are just so dominant and get to the quarterback a lot. I don't think they were responsible for a single sack or a single hit on Jimmy G, so I guess we've got to show some love to these guys. So Mack's been in the league for quite a while. He was a first-round pick back in 2009, and then he spent years in Cleveland, and then he landed in the Falcons. And then this is his first year with San Fran, so I think he's doing a pretty great job.
Yeah, well, speaking of San Francisco, I also went a player from there, the left tackle, Trent Williams. As you mentioned, the 49ers offense, his line had a huge day, and yes, did not allow a single sack or a single hit on Garoppolo. He was barely hurried all game. They were without Khalil Mack this week, the Bears, but I don't think you should take that or anything away from the line. They had an absolute field day. Their run game blocking was unreal. They also notched up over 145 yards on the ground and just made an absolute mockery of the Bears. So between the two San Fran boys, I think one of them will get on. So we'll finally have a 49ers player on our side. Who was on defense for yours?
Defense this week, I have gone safety PJ Williams. Now, I suppose if you look at his numbers just purely for tackles and anything like that, nothing really jumped off the table for him and didn't have a big day in yards to productions. But he did get a 40-yard pick six with a minute 24 left on the clock when the Saints were up by two. And our mate Tom Brady, who is known for these special last quarter drives to get him home, I think it's just a massive play in a massive moment. And that got them home. So I think PJ Williams is there for me this week. What about you?
Yeah, I've got another safety, Jordan Poyer from Buffalo. He ran right in the secondary against the Dolphins, notched up 10 tackles, one for a loss, a pass defensed, and he also got a game-sealing interception as well. So not a pick six, but the Dolphins were trying to make a comeback there too, was actually putting together some nice drives. And in comes Poyer and just finished off the game and tied it in a nice little bow for the Bills.
Yeah, he had an absolutely huge day. So there's some votes going to be out there for you tomorrow morning to vote on. Now, normally we would jump into the next segment with Meikle. Can you fill us in with what's happened with our friend Stephen this week?
Stephen's done the right thing. He's rolled up his sleeve and gotten his vaccine. But unfortunately, the connection to the NBN has not gone as well. And there's a bit of troubleshooting happening at the moment. So hopefully the 5G microchip will kick in soon and we'll be able to have him back next week.
Yeah, we wish you all the very best, Meikle, and we hope to see you again next week, mate.
All right, well, that'll move us on to week nine, kicking off with an absolute barnstormer. Wouldn't have thought this a couple of weeks ago, but Thursday night football with the Jets and the Colts.
Yeah, look, I think that's probably a game that we didn't think it was going to be great at the start of the year, and I think Jets coming off a huge win and the Colts playing decent football without getting a victory, I think that actually makes for a decent game. Who do you like in it?
I'm probably still going to lean towards the Colts. Jets will be good, but I don't know if Lightning will be able to strike twice. You know, as I said, you throw on for 40 times and it'll be interesting to see. But I think Carson Wentz has managed to string together some quite good games. It's just been one or two, I suppose, game decisions that he's made. The 49ers, the I don't know whether you call it a pitch fumble or an interception that he gave away down in there in the red zone. And then same as last week, instead of giving up for a safety, he throws a pick six. So it's just those crunch time moments. And I think against the Jets, they might be able to get a jump on them. So he won't be put in that precarious position and have to fight his way out from a corner. And I think that'll allow him to flourish a little bit.
Yeah, very good. I suppose one for me that I was looking at coming in the first game in the morning, Browns Bengals. Now the Bengals coming off a big win, then going to a big loss. The Browns got just dusted, not dusted, they just got pipped by the Steelers. Now, I think the defense of the Browns is good enough to do a job on the Bengals, but I can't pick this one. I think Joe Burrow's been unbelievable lately. Chase has been very good. The Browns haven't been as good as what we first anticipated with Baker being out, and then they're just having their struggles. I don't know where this one goes.
I think, yeah, as you sort of said, the Browns managed to get a really scrappy win over the Steelers last week. You'd probably lean towards the Bengals potentially just for home advantage, but, and especially the way that I've liked the way that Burrow has carried himself when he's been put under pressure these days, he's really getting the ball out quite nicely and he's providing, not making too many mistakes as well, I think, which has been quite good. So this is going to be a real test for him. You know, you've got guys like Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett running him down. So if there's any way to see what Burrow's really made of, it's going to be this week.
Yeah, look, it's going to be an interesting game, I suppose. There's another one I'm looking at, top of the NFC. Well, not top of the NFC. Cardinals at the top of the NFC versus the 49ers, who were a team that sort of disappointed us a little bit this year. Do you see the Cardinals bouncing back?
Yeah, again, I think, like, again, this is one of those hard ones where I'm just not finding super convinced on the Cardinals. The 49ers can be plucky as it is and can put something together. You know, porn star Jimmy can either turn up or not. But I'm probably going to lean on Arizona. They'll learn a lot from last week. You know, it's nothing like a loss to spur an undefeated team. So, you know, as they say, the loss they needed to have, really. It'll definitely be a close one. Again, you know, these divisional matchups, they always get tight no matter what the records are.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else that you like the rest of the week?
Look, I got to say, Packers v. Chiefs, normally one to circle on the calendar, but with the way that the Chiefs are going at the moment and the Packers are just rising, it's going to be an interesting one. I think the biggest concern is Patrick Mahomes, right? Most interceptions in the league, you know, and he's just overplaying his hand a lot. You know, we love him. He's a great quarterback. And I think there's going to be a lot of people either loving him or hating him right now, okay? But don't get this wrong. He's a great footy player and he will be able to still play great footy. It's just the issue on the rest of his team. The defense are just lacking. And someone like Rodgers is going to absolutely come in and cut up those poor bastards like cheese.
Yeah, look, that's their biggest issue at the moment. I think, yeah, look, he's having his struggles and that's going to happen in your career. I don't know if he's getting as much flack as he probably should. Some other quarterbacks might get some more heat than he probably has. I suppose he's had a good career before this, so that's probably why. But I think the Chiefs signed Melvin Ingram from the Steelers at the end of the deadline. So I don't know if that's going to make him much better. But, yeah, I think if they get their wide receivers back, the Packers will really pick him apart.
Look, yeah, it's a start, I suppose. A couple other games to wrap up the week. Titans v. Rams should be good. It's unfortunate that they're going in without Henry, but, you know, a 6-2 team and a 7-1 team should be interesting to watch. And then finally, to wrap us up on Monday night, will be the Bears and the Steelers. So Fields gets his first chance to run out into Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's going to be a ripper. I don't think the Bears are good enough to get it done. The Steelers are quietly doing enough to get the wins. I think Big Ben will probably get the job done. And the defense, I think TJ Watt could probably get a few sacks on our friend Justin.
Yeah, I think absolutely. He'll definitely be moving him around the pocket and making him squirm. So I'm interested. Hopefully TJ gets a couple sacks and he brings himself up on Defensive Player of the Year, but that's all right. That's another bet of ours. Rightio, I think that about wraps us up. Shall we move into the college football? And as of today, the first official committee rankings were released. What were your thoughts, Cam?
Yeah, some really interesting ones. I suppose the first ones that jumped off for me was Oregon and Ohio State sitting at 4 and 5 and Cincinnati being pushed out to 6. Now, I know that they don't really have the resume wins, but they haven't lost yet. And it's just such a hard one. The only other one is Alabama at 2. That is a really strange one for me.
Yeah, look, I think it's about time the committee stopped playing Alabama lackeys and started putting some respect on some of these other program names. You know, look, Cincinnati, okay, their only ranked win is against Notre Dame, but Notre Dame have proven that they're actually a good team this year. They've only lost, that's their only loss for the year, and they've gone up against some feasible teams. Look, Alabama, yes, I would easily say, and I think this has been the question, they've, in everyone's eyes, they have been in the top two teams, but because of that loss to Texas A&M, don't feel like that they deserve that number two spot just quite yet. Maybe 4, 5, I would be happy quite there. But at the moment, number two is just a little bit too high for me.
Yeah, I think they're their train of thought there. For me, I'm guessing, but I guess they're saying if they put them at 2 and they beat Georgia, both of them will be in the playoffs. If they lose to them just, that's where I think it's going to be interesting because it's very hard. I don't know if there's ever been a 2-loss team in the playoffs. I don't know if they can really, if they only lose by like 3 points, I'd be very interested to see what they do with that. I guess it's given what happens with Michigan State in the Big Ten, what happens with Oklahoma, what happens with Cincinnati. There's a few other teams that can make that decision to get taken out of their hands. But for the moment, yeah, SEC championship game is going to build for a massive one.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't wait forward to it. There's a couple of good games coming up this weekend. Look, Wake Forest go up against North Carolina. Wake Forest 8-0, and I think we're going to touch on them as our team of the week because they're going quite well. But an ACC matchup, North Carolina led by Sam Howell, who have been a bit iffy this year, 4-4, but you can't write them off at all. And they could be a potential banana slip game to Wake Forest's undefeated season here.
Yeah, absolutely. The only other one, there's a couple other ones I liked. Michigan State, Purdue. Now, Purdue, I think, are the team that knocked off. Who did they beat the other week?
They beat Iowa.
Yeah, and I was going to say that's a big one, but I suppose we've seen Iowa kind of slip out the back door now. I think they copped a loss on the weekend to Wisconsin, so essentially that kills their dreams of the season. So Michigan State should get home there. Texas A&M, Auburn. Now, that's a really good SEC West matchup that we're pretty excited to see. Texas A&M have some quality wins, so do Auburn, and they're both sitting around the 14-13 mark. What do you think there?
I'm really excited for this because you've sort of got two quarterbacks that are not the greatest in the league. You know, Bo Nix and Calzada there. Definitely these are teams that lean on their rushing attacks, but it's going to be up to leaning in the quarterbacks. Calzada's been quite good, but throws a lot of interceptions, whereas Nix is not very high production, but also barely interceptions. He's only thrown two for the year. So that's pretty low for a college football athlete considering. But it'll be on Tank Bigsby. I love that guy. And what a name too. He's just absolutely barnstorming through at the moment, really. I think I'm going to lean towards Auburn in this one.
Yeah, very good. Now, I think just going back to a few of the games from week nine, I know Georgia had a big win, OU had a big win. The Michigan State-Michigan game was actually an absolute cracker, and you posted for our page the other day, is it Kenneth Walker?
Yep.
Yeah, what a game.
He's huge, and if you go back and look through his stats for the year, he has been absolutely clocking them up. Like, it is absolutely ridiculous. He's transferred across from Wake Forest last year, so had some decent production. He had 119 rushes for 579 yards. Now, through this season, he has rushed for 175 times, but has collected up 1,194 rush yards. So he's clearly had a little bit of a kick up the ass, I suppose. He's had multiple games of over 100 and twice over 200 as well.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And then I think, what did he have on the weekend? Was it four or five TDs?
197 yards and five TDs. Yep.
Yeah. That, I mean, does that put him into the question mark like for the Heisman, or do you believe it's not really there for him?
I think he becomes in the conversation. He's definitely not above some of the QBs that we've sort of seen. Yeah. I think the most interesting take is that now he becomes the number one running back in the league. He's not a top three Heisman just yet, but he's definitely number one in the running back stakes.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair. Now, I suppose talking of Kenneth Walker, as you said before, he left the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Now, I didn't realize that before, but, I mean, they're having a red-hot season. I think we should probably touch on them this week. Adeno, what do you like for them for the rest of their schedule?
Yeah, look, Wake Forest coming out of the ACC, as I mentioned before, the Atlantic Coast Conference. Now, this has been a stranglehold of Clemson's for the past, I think it's like 6 or 7 years or something like that. So, at the moment, Wake Forest sit at 5-0 in their conference, so they should easily take away the Atlantic, and that'll knock Clemson out. So we will have a new ACC champion this year, likely. Now, coming up in their games, as I said, they've got North Carolina, which is a potential banana skin. Then they go up against North Carolina State, which is at 6-2 as well and currently ranked 19th. Then they follow with Clemson and Boston College. Now, so that's going to be a few tough couple of weeks. Boston College, I think, should be an easy way to finish their season. As I mentioned, the next 2 weeks will be interesting. But Clemson, I don't think you can write them off. Even though that they've been pretty horrible of late, they're still going to be up and ready to fight.
Yeah, that's a game, as you said, you can't write them off. They're a good enough team. They're led by Dabo Swinney. I think they've had their struggles on offense this year. That's probably their biggest hole, and their defense is good. NC State is the game that's the biggest worry for them, I suppose. If they can get through the Wolfpack there, and they're at home, so that's a handy one for them. I don't see them being in the top four at the end, coming the end of the season, unless some things go their way. But I think an ACC team will not be in the top four this year.
No, it doesn't look like it. Unless things look, if they take out NC State and they obviously win through and they go up against potentially Pittsburgh, who have been quite good. I know their quarterback is definitely a Heisman candidate. Pickett, is that? So, you know, there's a potential couple of wins there. I don't think they get in the top four. As you said, there's not going to be enough room, as there's that potential of Georgia and Alabama. We're definitely going to get a Big Ten, definitely going to get a Big 12, possibly first time we're going to see the Pac-12 as well. So, there's at least five teams that have got to fit in already, plus Cincinnati. So that top six is already loaded. Definitely pencil them in for a New Year's Six Bowl if they win out.
Yep, I think that's probably the height for them. It's a shame that I think the biggest question mark and decision there is going to be, will they expand from the 14 playoff? But I suppose we can talk about that another week.
Yeah, we can dive into that one time. Well, I think that wraps us up for about this week. Looking on to keen to look looking in next week.
Yep, absolutely. Let's get into week 9 and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.